Welcome to ETH, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Here at End Time Headlines, our mission is to inform our listeners of the times and seasons in which we are in. In Luke 21:28, we are told, when you begin to see all these things come to pass, lift up your heads, your redemption is drawing near. And now, founder and pastor of End Time Headlines, Ricky Scapero.
All right, guys. Wow. Thank you guys for joining me again. This is Ricky Scapero of End Time Headlines. I've got a unique word tonight. I'm not going to take a lot of your time. It's going to be probably about a 20 to 30 minute word here tonight. So without further ado, I don't want to take up, again, it's 9:30, and I don't want to take up a lot of your time. I've been really trying to keep these things to be about 25 to 30 minutes in length. So our passage tonight is going to be out of Psalms chapter 91. Somebody's already ahead of me there. But again, this is going to be a passage that I really want to plow into out of Psalms chapter 91. So if you want to join with me, you can. But I'm not going to read the entire chapter. I'm going to start at verse 9. Again, this is Psalms 91, verse 9. All right, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, and nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. And their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And now in verse 13 is really where I want to plow tonight. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Let me read it again. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample under your feet. So I was reading this today. Really, I wasn't even reading this. It just kind of just jumped in my spirit today as I was out and about doing things. It just kind of leaped out of my heart because I'm very familiar with this passage. And I felt like the Holy Spirit led me to share two things. There's two things that the Lord is bringing out in this. It's that we have authority over the lion and the cobra. So if you don't mind, I'm going to teach a little bit on what the lion and the cobra represent, some characteristics of the lion and the cobra that you need to know about, and how these are strategies of the enemy, that the enemy comes in the form of the lion and he comes in the form of the cobra, and why these are significant, that we're going to break these down. But the key here, guys, is that the Lord has given us authority to put the lion and the cobra under our feet. So let's get into this thing. Let's start with the lion. Here's some interesting things. Lions tend to hunt mostly by night or in early mornings. Now, this is interesting. Again, lions, they will tend to hunt in the night and in the morning. Have you ever noticed, guys, that most of the attacks, now maybe I'm alone in this, but I believe I'll have a lot of witnesses here tonight. But I've noticed in my walk of 15 years, hold on, guys, never fails. But as I'm noticing in my 15 years that I've been serving the Lord, that most of the attacks that I encounter in my walk with the Lord is either early in the morning or late at night. Now, let's ask why that is. Okay, first of all, it's usually you're the most weakest, vulnerable, and most tired late at night or early in the morning. Come on. It's late at night is when stress will hit you, anxiety will hit you, worry will try to hit you when you're laying at night. People that suffer with depression, people that suffer with anxiety and worry and all these things, they will tell you their most vulnerable and their weakest hour is at night when they're laying in bed, when their mind is racing a million miles an hour. They can't, they've got all these things on their mind, so they lose sleep. And sleep is taken from them. One of the things the enemy will try to do is take peace from us. And he'll try to do it late at night or early in the morning. Now, because again, when you first get up in the morning, I don't know about you, But I'm worse in the morning than I am at night. I'll be honest with you. Some of my greatest prayers are at night versus early in the morning. And that's probably because I'm not a morning person. I'm more of a late person. And some of you are the opposite. You're like David. It says, early in the morning will I rise and seek thee. You know, in the Bible, Jesus said, or the Bible says that the Lord rose up a great while before dawn or before morning. And I'm like, Lord, I don't think I'd be one to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm just going to be honest with you, because if I get out of bed at 4 o'clock in the morning to prayer, my prayers are not going to be effectual, fervent prayers. They're going to be stutters. They're going to be sloppy, and just, it's going to be a lot of mess. But if you get me about this time at night, I can think straight. I can flow better, unless I've not had a lot of sleep. But don't miss the point. Again, lions tend to hunt mostly by night or early in the morning. Now, it's interesting. In the Old Testament, they would offer a lamb early in the morning and in the evening. Again, the lamb would be offered in the morning and in the evening. So isn't it interesting that the enemy will always try to attack you? Again, have you ever noticed, if you're praying early in the morning or you're seeking the Lord late at night, that's when you're most vulnerable to attacks. Come on, all the men in here, and I know that there's women today, but that has these attacks too. This is why you've got to have blocks on, you've got to have accountability. You got to have blocks on your television, blocks on your computer. You need to have some kind of accountability, because I'm telling you, men, I don't care who you are. I don't care how spiritual you are. I don't care what position you hold. I don't care if you're the pastor, the deacon, the prophet, the apostle, the evangelist. I don't care what you are, what office you hold, but you stay up late, and you stay up late enough, and you start messing around on TV. Come on, idle hands get you in trouble. I'm telling you, there's stuff on television that will get you in trouble late at night. Come on, can we get real here for a second? Okay? And I could get really real, but I'm not, because I'm going to censor myself, because I thought of a phrase that an old minister told me a long time ago. He said the only things that are open late at night, and I'm not going to elaborate on that, so we're just going to move on from there. Again, lions tend to hunt mostly by night or early in the mornings. Okay, here's something else, guys. They're not very fast animals. Again, lions, when you think of cats like cheetahs, they're very fast. Jaguars, leopards, but not lions. Lions are not really that fast, okay? Now, here's the key. Lions have developed two main hunting methods. Now, I know, listen, someone's going to say, well, I don't know if I believe this is even biblical. Really? Listen, the Bible says that your adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion going to and fro and seeking who he may devour. So, again, there's references to the Lord as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, but there's also reference to Satan as the lion. So just, you'd be surprised, guys. I get the emails and I get all the weird stuff from people that try to be theologically, hermeneutically, and philosophically correct on every little phrase and thing that I talk about. So again, lions have developed two main hunting methods. And I want to tell you these two main hunting methods and why these are important. Number one, the lion stalks from cover to cover with a final burst of speed at the end. Let me say that again. The lion will stalk its prey, and this is important when we get into this later on. The lion will stalk its prey cover to cover. In other words, he'll go behind this bush, and he's patient, and he'll wait. And he'll look, and he'll wait, and then he'll go around, and he'll go behind this bush, and then he'll wait, and he'll get ever closer to the prey. Again, he goes from cover to cover, and then when he gets to distance of striking, he will burst forth with the speed at the very end to attack its prey. And I'm telling you, you're going to hear me say this over and over again. Listen, the devil has patience. Let me say that again. The devil has patience. I know one time somebody said, well, you know, God's people are, you know, we take our pace, but the devil is a sprinter and he runs out of breath. I don't believe that. When everything I've studied, guys, Satan is eternal. He's not going anywhere. He's been here. The Bible says that God is the same yesterday, today, forever. He's the same yesterday, he's the same today, and he's forever, and he'll be the same tomorrow and forever. But you know what? Satan is the same way. Satan is the same yesterday, Satan is the same today, and Satan will be the same Satan as he will be tomorrow. And he's got the same three tactics: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You know, one time I was thinking about this. I said, how sad is it that this guy uses three weapons for thousands of years? This cat has used three weapons, but listen, he's been so successful with these three weapons that he keeps using them over and over again. It's kind of like, I remember, a long time ago, I used to play video games. I don't play them as much as I used to, but when I was probably 15, 16 years old, we would play like these games like Mortal Kombat and these fighting games. And you'd always have this one guy that he would use the same combo every time you played. He'd always use the same kick pattern, the same punch pattern, the same jump pattern. He'd always use, or you'd play a game of football or basketball. Let's just use football. Come on, you'd pull out the John Madden. And this guy would always use the same play. Come on, it would be fourth and 25, and he's always going to Hail Mary it every time. You could take it to the bank, he's going to use it every time. And the sad part is, he'd catch it, and he'd always get the touchdown. And I'd get so mad. Man, I'm telling you, I'd get so mad because I'm like, man, this is impossible. There's no way you're going to do this every time and always pull it off. But listen, I'm telling you, the devil, he uses the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He used all three of these against Jesus in the wilderness when he was being tempted by the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. Come on, if you're the Son of Man, if you're the Son of God, turn this bread into stone. If you're the Son of God, come on, cast yourself off the pinnacle and the Lord will catch you. If you're the Son of God, why don't you bow down to me and I'll give you the kingdoms of this world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And he's defeated Christians for thousands of years using the same three weapons. Now watch this. So the lion is patient, and he'll get behind this little bush and he'll just wait for you to come around. Because can I tell you something? Satan attacks in seasons. Does he really? Yes. The Bible says that when he tempted Jesus, but here's what Jesus kept hitting him. Bam. He says, if you're the Son of God, why don't you turn this bread into fish or turn these stones into bread? And he said, bam, it is written, Satan, get behind me. Thou shalt not live off bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So bam, he hits Satan. He backs up. He comes back again. And he says, if you're the Son of God, why don't you, it is written that the angels will take charge over you. And if you jump off, they'll bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. So why don't you jump off? And then here comes Jesus. And he says, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So bam, he takes another blow. And then Satan comes back again. It is, if you're the Son of God, why don't you bow down to me and give me and I'll give you the kingdoms of this world. And again, Jesus comes back and says, get behind me, Satan, for it is written that that you shall worship the Lord God, and him only shall you worship. And after three blows by the word of God, the Bible says that Satan left him for a season. So here, watch this. The lion backed up and he hid behind a bush and he watched the Son of Man until he had an opportune time to come at another weak point. And I'm going to tell you, and you ready for this? Here's another weak point that he came out and attacked him. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, when the disciples were over here sawing logs, they were sleeping. Here's Jesus. The Bible says he was travailing. He was taking on the sins of the world, and he was sweating great drops of blood through so much travail in the Garden of Gethsemane that Satan was coming in and telling him, give up, throw in the towel. You don't have to do this. Call down the angels of God and you can call it off. And Jesus had to say, Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And Satan left. And then he came back another season. He came back when Jesus was hanging on the cross. And Jesus was hanging up on that cross, and Satan tried to mock him through one of the thieves and saying, if you're really the Son of God, why don't you come off of the cross? Come on, guys. Again, the lion waits for your most vulnerable time to attack. Ready? that brings me to the second method. This is good, guys. The second method that the lion will use is he will find a bush close to something that the prey needs. Golly, let me say it again. Again, the second method is the lion will find a shrub or a bush, and it'll be near to the proximity of something that the lion already knows that the prey is going to be looking for. For example, a gazelle, an antelope, they need water. Water is a necessity to survive. So the lion knows that if he can find a body of water, a creek, a river, a stream, and there's bushes and there's shrubs by this body of water, he knows that if he waits behind this bush or behind this shrub, he knows for certain, watch this, that eventually his prey will end up there because he has to have water. Now, here's what the Holy Spirit showed me. Many times we have a habit of blaming Satan for everything that we fall into. You know, the devil's on my back today. I went to work and I forgot my wallet. The devil's on my back today. I went to work and my tire was low. No, you forgot your wallet and you forgot to put air in your tire. Okay? So come on, guys. But listen, James, let me, I'm going to get ahead of myself. Okay? So again, he waits. Okay? He will, he'll wait for the prey to get behind a bush or a shrub to where the prey will need its necessity. And then he will climb up. Sometimes he'll climb into a place and he'll wait. Again, wait. Satan is patient. This has the great advantage that the lion can catch up on sleep while technically out hunting. Now, I took all these notes when I was researching, and let me say that again. Did you hear that? So all the while the lion is waiting, he's catching up on sleep because he knows all he's got to do is go down to the source of the water, and come on, the prey is going to come to him. Now, what am I talking about? James chapter 5, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt any, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. The word enticed means something that's appealing, something that's interesting. Come on, somebody. I love when Christians say, I tell you what, I fell into sin the other day because I was down at the bar and I fell into drinking. Well, hold on, wait a minute. You were at the bar and you fell into drinking alcohol. Well, wow, that's a revelation, right? Or, you know, I was out late at night, about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I had this problem with lust, and I drove by this shop down there, and one thing led to another. Well, first of all, what was you doing out at 3 o'clock in the morning? Second of all, what in the world, why would you drive by that place to fall into it? So listen, I've noticed many times, guys, the enemy knows you and I better than anybody else except for God. Let me say that again. The enemy, you know, listen, the Bible, the Lord says he knows you're rising up and you're setting down. He knows every breath you're going to take. He knows every word that's going to come out of your mouth. Come on, somebody. But Satan knows your pattern. Come on. He knows what time you get up for work. He knows what time you got to be at work. He knows how you, listen, he knows that when you get out of bed, he knows the first thing you do, the second thing you do. He knows how you, listen, you don't think we're creatures of habit? Every one of you guys, when you take your shower, you either A, you wash yourself first, or B, you wash your hair first, or C, you brush your teeth first, or one of these combinations, and you do the same thing every single time. Come on. You take the same route to work. You go to the same gas station. Come on. You get your same cappuccino, your same coffee, your same latte, your same Coke, your same Sprite, your same water, your same this, your same pack of gum. Come on. You go to work at the same time. You say hello to the same people. You eat with the same people every day. You have the same conversation every day. You keep talking about the same people every single day. You come home from work. Come on. You get undressed. You you get dressed, you take a shower, you hang with the kids, you go to this, you go to that. Listen, you think it's really difficult for the enemy to figure out your pattern? Come on. And he knows, listen, he knows that if you, he, listen, so you got a lust problem. Well, listen, if the enemy knows he can get you by yourself late at night in front of the television because you're bored and because you're idle and flip on the remote control, or if he knows that you've got a drinking problem, he knows that if he can somehow convince one of your old buddies and put it in his heart to contact you, even though you haven't heard from him in 2 years, but all of a sudden he calls you up and says, hey, can you meet me down here at the club or the bar? And you don't have to drink anything. Just come down here and talk to me, but you know that you ain't got no business being down there, because every man is tempted when he's drawn away by his own lust and he's enticed, okay? And it says, and then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. Golly. And I propose to you that many times the lion is waiting for us at the door of many of our churches, because the lion is comfortable there, because there's nobody there to threaten him. Can I tell you that? That I believe Satan is, I think he's one of the most faithful members in many people's churches out there. Come on, he's there every Sunday school. He's there every Sunday morning. Come on, he's there for the offering. He's there for the announcements. He's there for praise. He's there for worship. He's there for when the pastor gives the word. Come on, he's there at the, he may even be in the choir. He may be on the altar team. Come on, he may be in the leadership. He may even be behind the pulpit teaching the people. So that was a whole other, I don't even know how I got into that, but listen, there, all right, here we go. Now, there are two things that help the lion considerably. Here we go, ready? Two things that help the lion considerably. Number one, they are incredibly good at hiding. Golly, let me say that again. They are incredibly good at hiding. Listen, the devil is good at what he does. He will find, it's kind of like when I used to study out, like you study out wars in history. One of the first thing the enemy does is he pulls out the strategy. He goes into the war room. He pulls out the, it's kind of like football. Let me use football for example. Come on, it's football season. I know some of the guys are all excited about football season. So if, listen, the defensive team, the defensive coordinators and the defense will watch, they will watch reels of film. They'll watch the plays. They'll watch how the team does this and how they do that. And they will study their weaknesses. They will study where they're vulnerable. If it's their passing game, they'll know that they can blitz them on their passing game. If they know it's on their running game, come on, they'll blitz them on their running game. So here it is. This is where the enemy does. He sets back, and the lion is incredibly good at hiding. Secondly, and I've said this again, he is incredibly and phenomenally patient. Okay? All right. And then, all right. Now, here's an interesting thing. For example, antelopes, while they're physically fast, they are mentally not quite so bright, and they pay little attention to learning from their mistakes. Let me say this again. One example, antelopes. Let's just use sheep. Can we use sheep? Did you know that sheep are dumb? Did you know that we're considered to be sheep according to the Bible? Come on. And his sheep will know his voice, and the voice of the stranger they know not, nor will they follow. Sheep are very dumb animals. They have to have a shepherd to lead them, a shepherd to guide them. If not, they'll go into a bush and get bitten by a snake or a cobra, if you would. They'll wander off a cliff and fall off. They'll be eaten by predators. So the shepherd has to continually guide them, continue to lead them, and continue to direct them. Come on. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He leads me beside still waters. Come on. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Because why? Because he is with me. Okay, but watch this. Antelopes are extremely fast. We'll give that to them, but they're mentally not quite so bright and perhaps they pay little attention to learning from their mistakes. Hello, how many people, have you ever met somebody that it's like they get set free and then they fall back into the same trap? Listen, I'm gonna step on my own shoes. I've made mistakes over and over and over and over. You know, I said I wouldn't be vulnerable to this individual and I wouldn't let my guard down. And what happens? Bam, I get burned again. Or, somebody says, don't lend money to this individual because they're going to burn you. But, you know, we're supposed to give and we get burned. Come on. Don't do this or, you know, that's going to happen. Don't do that or this is going to happen. But we fall for the same thing. Come on. The proverb says a fool returns to his folly. It's like a dog returning to his own vomit. Okay? So sheep are dumb and they make very crucial mistakes, okay? And I got to get on with this because we're getting now 25 minutes. Listen to this, guys. This is interesting. George Shaler, who researched lion in the Sargenti and surrounding areas, recounts watching a group of Thompson's gazelles crossing a patch of thick bush in order to drink. When they entered the thick bush, it was bristling with lions that instantly grabbed and ate one of the gazelles. Over the next 2 hours, the same group of gazelles, listen to this, having apparently forgotten the recent murder of one of their companions, tried not once but twice more to get to the water using the same route with predictable results. Listen, the enemy knows. You know, the word says, as the deer panteth for the water brook, so does my soul panteth after thee. I'm telling you guys, Satan knows what we need. And I've said this over and over again. If he knows that you need to get in the Word, he will unleash all of hell to keep you out of reading the Word of God. If he knows that you need to read the if he knows that you need to get in your prayer closet, that'll be the day that your phone something you drop your phone and crack it. You get a flat tire. Your neighbor's dog gets hit. Your oven catches on fire. Your microwave goes out. Come on, your furnace blows up. Something. I'm telling you, every time, guys. I'm preaching to you exactly what I've walked through. So the enemy knows, and he's patient, and he'll watch and wait, and he looks at your patterns, okay? Now, here's something interesting. Female lions, or lionesses, if you would, are the ones who actually do all the hunting, while the male lions tend to step in and take the spoils of victory. Can I tell you? Listen, I got some good news for you guys. Ready? Satan is not the lioness, but he's the roaring lion, seeking to and fro who he may devour. Why is he the roaring lion? Because 2,000 years ago, Jesus took his teeth out. Come on, he's got a big roar, but he has no bite. Come on, somebody. Because the Bible says that the Lord has stripped him of his authority. He's took the keys to death, hell, and the grave. The Bible says he made a spectacle before him and stripped him of his authority and his power in Jesus' name. So again, we're dealing with a lion that has a mighty roar. Okay, and we're going to finish that in just a second. Now let's move on to the cobra. Let me go back up to the text. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. Okay, we just talked about the lion. Cobras are interesting. Cobras are a type of poisonous snake with hollow fangs fixed to the top jaw at the front of the mouth. These snakes cannot hold their fangs down on prey, so they inject venom through their fangs. Let me say that again. They cannot hold their fangs down on prey, so they inject venom through their fangs. Now, here's what I was like, Lord, what are you trying to say here? The enemy's weapon, listen, he knows he can't keep a hold on you, so his weapon is his mouth. Let me say that again. His weapon is his mouth, so he attacks with his mouth. The venom, guys, that Satan uses is the words. Come on, he's the accuser of the brethren. He comes before the throne of God day and night, the Bible says, and he accuses the saints of God night and day before the throne. Come on, he'll accuse you of lying. He'll accuse you of being not worthy enough to come before his presence. He'll accuse you of being unforgiven. He'll accuse you of not being good enough and that your righteousness is his filthy rags, which they are. But I thank Jesus that my righteousness is in him, and his righteousness through him is through the faith in him in Christ Jesus. Amen. So again, the venom is in the fangs, guys. Okay, because Satan can't hold on to a... Jesus said, the wicked one has come, but he has found nothing in me. In other words, Jesus was saying he's trying to bite, but he can't hold me. He can't hold on to you. Come on, man. Somebody ought to get excited about this. All right. Now listen, cobras have an excellent sense of smell and night vision. Here we go again. Again, sense of smell and night vision. It just kind of just dovetails off of the lion. Same situation, guys. So they rely on their sense of smell. They can smell vulnerability. They can smell weakness. They can smell pride. Hello. They can smell lust. They can smell insecurity. They can smell greed. They can smell these things, and they will and the enemy will trump on these things. Okay. In addition to their trademark hoods, cobras have round pupils and smooth scales. Round pupils and smooth scales. Notice they're smooth. Satan's smooth, guys. He's a smooth talker. He's a smooth perpetrator. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, the quench every fiery dart of the wicked one and the wicked schemes, the plots, the plans of the enemy. So he's very smooth in how he does things. Okay. The most well-known distinctive physical characteristic of cobras is their hood. Okay. And this is called hooding. This occurs when the snake spread out its neck ribs, forming a flattened, widened section of its body near the head. Ready for this? This creates a stunning and threatening spectacle. Here we go again. Again, it's all the one thing about the enemy, it's all about fear. Listen, the lion roars and tries to promote fear in its prey. The cobra rears back and spreads its neck and tries to promote fear in its victims. Okay? The conditions of the cobra, they dwell in hot areas and they like spending time underground. Wow, are you kidding me? Listen to that. Cobras like hot areas and they like spending time underground. That's funny because my Bible says that Satan, his ultimate home will be in a place called the Lake of Fire, which, and I don't have time for this, but I can really plow on to show you that I believe that hell or Hades is in the center of the earth, and the hottest place is in the center of the earth. So yes, it sounds like hell, don't it? So the most distinctive behavioral characteristic of cobras are their defensive displays. This includes hooding, hissing, and raising the upper portion of their bodies to stand erect. Again, it's a display of to promote fear in its victims. Because many times a victim of a cobra will go into shock because of fear. A victim of a lion will go into shock because of the roar, and it stuns them, and they become they go into a state of paralysis. The fear locks them up. All right, listen to this. Cobras may hiss loudly at predators and other threats, and some species also spit. This is interesting. Spitting cobras are able to project venom from their fangs towards their perceived predators. Again, what did we say that the venom represents? Paul said in Ephesians, it's the fiery darts of the wicked one. Come on. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. So Satan uses the venom of the tongue, his mouth, to attack its prey. Okay. Cobras are typically opportunistic hunters. chowing down on whatever prey comes their way. In other words, they're not picky. They'll take it however they can get it. And that's where I leave you with tonight. Guys, listen. Satan wants company. Misery wants company. Satan is not picky about who he takes with him. Oh, sure, he likes trophies. And I'm sure he strives on trophies that he's got in his trophy wall of mighty men of God and mighty women of God that he's taken to hell with him. And he's put them on a wall like a trophy and hanging them up. And if you don't believe that, read a book of Proverbs where it talks about an adulterous woman will pray after a man who is void of understanding. And it says that she will pray after them, pray after that man. And the Bible says that man doesn't even realize that her steps lead to hell. And it says that mighty men and mighty great men are there. They are in hell because of this adulterous woman. So guys, again, what are we learning from the lion and the cobra? Listen, the lion, the cobra represents the suddenly attack, where the lion represents the progressive attack. Remember, the lion is progressive. He goes around this bushel and behind this bush, and he'll hide and he'll wait, and then he'll come out, and then he'll strike over here. But the cobra, you could be walking along a path, and you don't even know it's there, and all of a sudden, and it bites you. Again, so the enemy has two types of attacks, the sudden attack or the slow progressive attack. And I believe that every one of us are either walking in that, will walk in it, or have walked in it. So I hope tonight kind of peels back a layer of revelation of some of the strategy of the enemy. Again, but here's the good news, guys. I want to leave you with this. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent, you shall trample under your feet. If you go to the New Testament, Jesus says, "Behold, I give unto you a power to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy." So come on, you need to give the Lord a praise for that and say, "Thank you, Jesus, that you've given me authority. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me and quickens my mortal body. The same authority that you gave Jesus, you gave to me as a believer, and I can trample on the serpent, the scorpion, and over all the powers of the enemy. The devil is under my feet, and he's defeated in Jesus' name." So guys, again, you could take notes from this. Put this in your quiver of arrows, of weapons, and I pray that this has been a blessing to you guys. Again, I'm Ricky Scapero of End Time Headlines. You can follow me at endtimeheadlines.com or endtimeheadlines.org. Either one of those locations will get you to the same place. Again, if you would like to support the ministry of End Time Headlines, you can do that by on a mobile device or a desktop by scrolling down in several different places there, and you can support the ministry of what we're doing. Again, I always try to bless, exhort, and edify the believers, and also as a watchman on the wall and as a voice crying in the wilderness, I always try to inform our readers of the times and the seasons in which we're in, and by presenting news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. So again, guys, God bless you. Yes, this will be on YouTube. It'll probably be up tomorrow because I've got a long night ahead of me, because as soon as I shut this down, I'm getting ready to do a major update on the situation that's going on in the Middle East with Syria and with Russia. So watch for that on our YouTube channel, and you can watch for this on our YouTube channel again. Again, you can find our YouTube channel at End Time Headlines or at Ricky Scapero, RickyScaparo. Again, endtimeheadlines.com or endtimeheadlines.org. God bless you. Thank you for your prayers, your financial contributions, your partnership of this ministry. Thank you for sharing. We love you guys. God bless you. And I'll see you later on tonight or early tomorrow. Again, I don't always periscope these updates. I'll do these messages like this. I'll do these live on Periscope, even though they're being recorded, because I'll go back and edit this and stuff. But as far as the live updates or as the prophetic viewpoints that we do, and anything like that. I usually don't do them live anymore because I use videos and images and everything that makes them a whole lot better that you guys can study from. Love you guys. Thank you guys. But if it's a breaking news update, of course, you'll see that on Periscope as well. So, all right, I'm out, guys. Love you guys. Again, look for this on YouTube if you want to go back and share this with people that don't have Periscope or whatever the case may be. I'll see you tonight or tomorrow. We love you guys.